Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com. It's a Tuesday, and it's time for the Minor League Report with Brian Walton from TheCardinalNation.com. As always, this is presented by Ryan Kelly. Visit him at TheHomeLoanExpert.com. The international signing period is here. Busy time in baseball. We'll get into the particulars with Brian in just a moment. How it works, the money a team can spend, what the Cardinals have done with their allotment. But before we get into that, as many of you know, we have Mondays with Mo, my weekly conversation on Mondays with Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. I asked him about the Cardinals' approach this year to the international signing period.
Our strategy this year was to add a second DSL team. So we have two Dominican League summer teams going. And so what that really means is we're signing a bunch of players that are under the $300,000 threshold and hopefully catch a little lightning in a bottle. But I can tell you that Luis Morales has been very active. He's traveled extensively through South America to try to add depth to our system as much as possible. But next few days aren't going to be as crazy as maybe some other teams right. are, but certainly busy if you sit in his shoes.
Final question. How do you evaluate a 15-year-old kid, a 16-year-old kid, and say, well, yeah, that guy might be okay by the time he's 22? How do you do that?
Well, I think the most important thing is having the ability to understand physical growth or physical maturity, because obviously when you're looking at somebody at 15 or 16 years old, they're not what they're going to look like at 21 or 22. And do they have the baseball skill set to improve, or maybe more the way to think about it too is, do they have the makeup to want to improve? Obviously, everybody wants to sign because it's money, it's instant money, and there's some gratification there. But it's really the guys that work hard and figure out a way that this is simply their first step. And there's 10 big ones they've got to make before they ever get to really realize their dream. And so I think for us, it's baseball has a challenge when you're dealing with this type of age gap in terms of knowing really what you're having. I also feel like sometimes you look at the NFL, or I should say the NBA, when they were drafting right out of high school.
Right.
And that wasn't necessarily a success in that model. But where baseball, you know, that's sort of the playing field that we're involved in, and it's not easy, but I would say success rate is not great.
The Cardinals have made some news with their signings, and there's also news with Luke Voit and Tyler O'Neill. It's all coming up on the Minor League Report.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com.
Tuesday morning on Scoops with DannyMac.com, and now it's time to visit with Brian Walton from TheCardinalNation.com. He is the preeminent authority on all Cardinals minor league news. Brian, let's jump it right into it. The international signing period is upon us. Let's go into the history of what this has been like for you, covering this event and just kind of seeing it all come to fruition.
The July 2nd date is an important one because that is the anniversary every year in which teams reset and can sign a new set of international players for the upcoming year. And this is something that Major League Baseball established, and it's evolved over the years. Each team is given a budget in which they're allowed to go sign international players, and you know they have to stay within that amount. The Cardinals first got into it back in 2004 when Jeff Luna was brought in by Bill DeWitt Jr. to revitalize the international program. And the Cardinals started a team in the Dominican Summer League in 2005 that runs to this day. And then they also put a team in Venezuela, which is another country, probably second after the Dominican, where they source ballplayers. But they were only able to stay in Venezuela for 5 years because political unrest in the country is so bad, things were so unsafe, they decided to pull out. Now, for this year, for 2018, the Cardinals doubled down and actually created a second team in the Dominican Summer League. So what we saw in the July 2nd period this last year, the Cardinals went out and signed 40 new players, 40 new international kids, and they're mostly 16, 17, 18-year-olds, to build this second team. And the benefit of that, of course, is another 30, 35 players in the pipeline, and you hope a few will reach the top and become major leaguers.
In the history of the Cardinals being down in the Dominican, what are some of the biggest names that they've been able to develop, as you said, since 2005 when that academy opened?
Well, the first player from the academy system that reached St. Louis was a reliever that folks may remember, Eduardo Sanchez, back in 2011, hard thrower. He ultimately didn't, you know, have a long career. But I think that, you know, the most prominent international players are players that were actually even known before they were signed. And I'm talking about Carlos Martinez, Alex Reyes. But the Cardinals have also picked up some guys over the years on much smaller signing bonuses that, you know, turned out pretty well. And I'm thinking about guys like Oscar Taveras, Manuel Sierra, Sandy Alcantara, who made a start for Miami this past weekend. So the Cardinals have uncovered guys that aren't necessarily in the top tier of bonuses, and that's extremely important fact because in the 2016 class, the Cardinals decided, they made a business decision that, hey, we are going to overspend the MLB target that was given us. We're going to overspend it big time. Like, they doled out like $12 million in bonuses. But because of that, then, they received a penalty for the next 2 years, and they're unable to spend more than $300,000 on any individual player. That was the case in the 2017 class, and that's also the case in the 2018 class that just opened this week. So the Cardinals bet big on Cubans like Jonathan Machado, Johan Oviedo, Victor Garcia, and then the two guys at Memphis, Randy Arozarena and Adolis Garcia. And so they really need those guys to come through because, you know, they haven't been able to compete for the big names internationally the last couple of years.
Does that change next year for the Cardinals?
That's right. There was 2 years of penalty, so the July 2nd next year they'll be back in the game and be able to spend full money. And when I talk about full money, Dan, MLB has an allocation system that they give to each team, and the Cardinals roughly have about $5 million to spend this year. But, I mean, you can do the math. At only $300,000 per player, you know, they're not going to, you know, they could stretch out a long, long ways. So what's different from the amateur draft, in international, teams can trade their allocation money. So what we saw last year was the Cardinals had all that money. They couldn't spend a lot of it, so they actually traded it. Some of it went to Seattle in the Mike Leake trade, and then they also picked up Lane Thomas, who's a promising outfielder for Toronto, for international money, and a couple of infielders from Boston as well. So it gives the Cardinals a little more flexibility. Even if they can't spend all the money, they can still get value from it.
How about yesterday? They did, though, make a signing, as you mentioned. Couldn't go over $300,000 for a particular player, but tell us about how active the Cardinals were yesterday and who's coming to the Cardinals organization.
Well, there were four players. Two of them the organization has confirmed, although there haven't been any press releases yet. The organization confirmed two players, and then there's two others that Baseball America reported, a catcher out of Venezuela, Diego Velasquez, and a right-handed pitcher, Jesus Rojas. But the two that the Cardinals did confirm, a Dominican right-handed pitcher named Victor Villanueva, and then the most interesting player, the most talked-about player in this group so far, is a third baseman, again from Cuba, named Malcolm Nunez. And he's 6'1", 195. Only 17 years old, but he has a good track record on youth teams in Cuba, has played in the World Cup, and so, you know, the Cardinals had a good opportunity to see him. And the real concern was that because of that $300,000 limit, you know, would another team come and potentially, you know, take Nunez away? And so this whole international thing is about establishing relationships very early on. Because we're talking about Nunez, the case, you know, he's a 17-year-old. I'm sure the Cardinals have probably been scouting him for 3 or 4 years and trying to build relations to make sure that when it came time to sign, he would select their organization.
Isn't that part of why you start a second team in the Dominican, not only to maybe catch lightning in a bottle, as we talked about, but also, you know, there's family members, there's friends, there's cousins, there's people that say, hey, the Cardinals organization treated my son well. He'll treat your son well. You know, go sign with the Cardinals. Don't you think that's part of the idea, too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's a very, very competitive environment. And while there are rules about spending money, it's still pretty much a wild, wild west out there in trying to find these young men and convince them. So one of the things the Cardinals did was a few years back is they invested in a new facility. They built a new academy that can house up to 80 players. So they were already thinking ahead of time, hey, you know, we're probably going to expand this at some point in time. And, you know, they have now nice new modern facilities that can compete with other organizations. But then, you know, the Cardinals aren't the only one to have a second team in the Dominican Summer League. Multiple other organizations do as well, so some of it's also just keeping up with the Joneses.
Brian, you're doing a great job explaining the international signing period, but I want to get back now to guys that are in the Cardinals organization, and as we wrap it up, there's a couple of players I want to ask you about. Let's start with Luke Voit. Luke Voit swinging a hot bat right now.
You know, it's a funny thing. Luke Voit, of course, was called up to St. Louis recently, but through the whole first half of the season, he only had one home run for Memphis. I mean, amazing. You know, a guy whose, you know, whole game is power, that he just wasn't hitting the ball well. And now all of a sudden in the last week, he's just, you know, on fire. His last 10 games, he's batting .425. As you mentioned, he hit for the cycle in a game that was suspended and then carried over to Monday. Drove in five in that game. And, you know, and then Voit went 3-for-3 last night. And also drew two walks, so he's not just up there hacking. He's also, you know, showing the type of discipline that you would expect from him. So, you know, I was at a point where if we would have talked about this a couple weeks ago, I would have said, "Hey, I think Voit's, you know, 40-man roster spot might be in jeopardy. You know, he's having a tough year." Well, now all of a sudden you look, he's got, you know, .291 batting average, slugging .459, and it's like the old Luke Voit all over again.
It's such a fluid situation in pro baseball. The other guy I want to ask you about is Tyler O'Neill. O'Neill back up with the Cardinals with Dexter Fowler on the paternity list. Where is he right now in his career, Brian? As you evaluate the Cardinals minor league system, you talk to so many others that cover their various teams. He's a curious case because of the body, because of the power. Where is he in his pro career?
Well, I think the key thing with Tyler O'Neill to remember is that he's just turned 23 years old in June. And the Cardinals have another option year after this to give him time to continue to develop in the minor league. So if he doesn't make it this year, they're not going to be forced to have to make a decision on his future for another year out. And, you know, that's important for these young players. As we've seen with Tyler O'Neill, the good comes with the power, the home runs, and the bad comes with the strikeouts. And, you know, the key for Tyler O'Neill over the long haul is going to be, can he keep those strikeouts in check so that he can, you know, truly become a major league star, or will he become, as some people have called him, Randall Grichuk 2.0?
Brian, for folks that are listening to this, maybe for the first time, you've been doing this all summer long with me. You do an incredible job covering the minor league system. Tell us about thecardinalnation.com if fans want to go to your website.
Well, each day of the week, we have an in-depth team report on one of the seven minor league affiliates in the U.S. So today's Peoria Chiefs Day. Tomorrow will be Palm Beach Cardinals, etc. We also have morning recaps, recapping all the games that occurred across the minor league system from the day before. And something that I don't talk a lot about, we document every single player transaction that occurs across the entire Cardinal system the day it happened. But we not only report on so-and-so was promoted from here to there, but we also talk about what's the implication of that to the rest of the roster. What does that mean in terms of playing time, in terms of starting lineup, in terms of rotation? So for those people who really want to understand what's going on with the players in the Cardinals minor league system, you know, we're really the place to go. We update our top 50 prospect rankings each month, but it's not just a list of names. Again, it's a description of, you know, why these players are on the rise. What are they doing that's causing them to improve their prospect status, or in some cases, you know, why are guys slipping?
That's thecardinalnation.com. Brian Walton does this every Tuesday and Friday on Scoops with DannyMac.com. Brian, as always, thank you so much, and I'll talk to you on Friday in San Francisco.
Sounds good, Dan.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com.
That's Brian Walton, and we do this every Tuesday and Friday on Scoops with DannyMac.com. Make sure and check out his site. It's tremendous, thecardinalnation.com. As always, on Scoops with DannyMac.com, we have game reports every night, Mondays with Mo, podcasts that are dropped every week. Thanks for checking out Scoops with DannyMac.com. This has been presented by Ryan Kelly. Visit him at thehomeloanexpert.com.